Did you have a blessed week?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, now a blessed week does not mean there's no trial. Jesus said, in this world you will have trials, you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome them. That means as you continue to believe in Jesus and continue to rest in His love for you, you will come out on top. Amen. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. The Bible says you're more than a champion in Christ simply because you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. So when I ask, did you have a good week? It does not mean that there is no challenge. It does not mean there is no trial. But you say, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm more than a champion. You have overcome that problem for me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Amen. I don't know how to figure out how to make it happen. Usually that's where stress comes, right? When you try to figure out how you are supposed to solve it. It's like the burden is on you now. Well, God wants you to live a life of rest. Say rest.
Rest.
Say Jesus rest.
Jesus rest.
God has a promised land for you. And that land is called the land of rest. Say again.
The land
of rest. So God wants us to rest. God wants us to relax. Did you know that the more you relax in your mind, in your heart, the healthier you'll become? So when God wants you to have rest, amen, it's because He loves you. He does not want you to be tensed up, worrying about ends meet, how to solve this, how to make this happen. And again, God has a beautiful picture of possessing the land of Canaan. Again, that land of Canaan is the land of rest. That's where everybody is supposed to be, in that land of rest. But are you ready to possess your land of Canaan?
Amen.
Because there are giants there. You know, there are things that you can see with what you see, hear, taste, smell, or feel with your five natural senses. Those are like the giants, the natural things that will create unbelief, right? You know, you are defeated before you even fight. It's you already defeated in your mind. The children of Israel, their heart melted when they saw the giants in the land. Because they said, we look like a grasshopper in our sight. Not in their sight. In our own eyes, we look like a grasshopper. So, it's a land of rest where God says, I have a vineyard that you don't have to plant. And I have a house that you don't have to build. I have a land that you don't have to kill. Now it sounds too good to be true. Because those giants, they have big hands. They have big houses. And God is using even what the enemy uses. Right? Those giants were not from God. But they occupied those land of Canaan. Right? God even used them to kind of prepare big houses for Israel. So that they don't have to build themselves. They just possess the house. It sounds too good to be true. Everything has been prepared by God. In other words, you have an attitude of trust to your loving Heavenly Father that my God, my Father, will take care of everything for me. If He takes care of the birds of the air, right, He will take good care of me. I don't have to worry about what if this happened, right, or what if this doesn't happen. It creates stress. And God says, don't be intimidated by the giants. What we see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. God wants us to be occupied with the spiritual things, not with the earthly things. Are you blessed, church?
Yes.
Amen. So what did I share today about the land of rest called the land of Canaan? Again, it's full of giants, but it depends on your focus, right? Are you going to be focusing on the giants, the things that are not working, that will create fear and doubts and unbelief in your heart? By what you see, hear, taste, smell, or feel? Or are you going to be focusing on the life that is above the sun, where you are today in the Spirit, seated with Christ in the heavenly places? Sitting down is a position of rest. The idea again is relaxation, is rest. Amen? Now, if you have this perspective, if you keep your mind focused on the reality of who you are in Christ, you are literally a king because you are sitting in Christ in His throne at the right hand of God. And the idea of being a king is that you have no lack, you have no need. And a king does not have to work their tails off full of stress and hardship. A king just issues a decree. Lord, I thank You for Your provision. Right? My God will supply all my need according to His glorious riches in Christ. You just quote scripture. You issue an edict and then the blessings come. God wants you to be so blessed that you can be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, now, with all that said, we're ready to get to the main entree today for the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is something fresh that I've learned from scripture. How many of you have learned that there are many people who are struggling with bone-related issues? Like arthritis, the back is hurting, the neck is hurting, all kinds of bone-related issues, right? Do you want to know the Bible answer to problems with bones? The bones that are dry, that are not full of marrow, that's not full of moisture. So, this is a fresh revelation. I want you to see it as something that will be a blessing to you. What is the Bible answer for us to deal with bone-related physical conditions? I'm not talking about spiritual only. You know, I'm talking about physical conditions. Arthritis or osteoporosis, you name it. Anything that's related to bones or even teeth and stuff like that. Here's God's answer that I found in Scripture. Turn with me to Proverbs 3:7. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Okay? Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay? So, let's look at the second part of that verse. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I want you to say this with me. This is the key to deal with osteoporosis, to deal with back pain, neck pain, any, you know, pain in the feet, anything, joint pains, arthritis. God has given us the answer. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Say with me, fear the Lord and depart from evil. What has this got to do with arthritis? I don't see anything here about healing, right? Now remember, when you study the Bible, make sure you understand the context. Let's look at the next verse, Proverbs 3:8. So this is the next verse. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Did you see that? So, verse 7 is connected to verse 8. So we have to put it in context. It says, it will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Say bones. So right there, bones. You cannot spiritualize. Well, that's talking about spiritual bones. No, it's literal. It's talking about literal bones. Any bone-related health conditions, God wants to fix it as you remember the Word of God that says, fear the Lord. And it says, depart from evil. Why? Because it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now the word marrow there, okay, can also be translated as moistening. Okay, so when it says, it shall be held to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, I can also say, if you fear the Lord and depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel and moistening to thy bones. And then all that pain, all that joint pain, all that back pain, all that neck pain, all that knee pain, all that pain in the feet, arthritis, whatever it is, they will be so moistened that you will not have those problems anymore. Because this is specifically to deal with bone issue. Amen? You see something that is so clear from the Word of God that teaches us to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, how do you practically fear the Lord today as a new covenant believer? God tells us many times in the Bible, fear not, right? He said so many times, fear not. And certainly, He does not want you to fear Him in a negative way, right? Do you want your children to be afraid of you?
No.
Do you want your children to be afraid, fearful of you? Neither do God. So what does it mean to be fearing God? What does it mean to fear the Lord as a new covenant believer? Well, how about we ask Jesus about it? Jesus has the best interpretation, right, on what it means to fear the Lord. Do you remember when Jesus was tested by the devil? The devil says, I'll give you all the fame and the riches, the glory of this world, if you just worship me. And what did Jesus say? It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only. Now, Jesus was quoting the Old Covenant verse that is translated in the Bible as fear the Lord only. In other words, in the New Covenant, the fear of the Lord is to worship the Lord. Say worship.
Worship.
Amen. So that is the first key there, is worship. Do you have a worshipful life? Now, when I say worship, it does not mean that you have to be in your prayer closet all the time with your head on the ground prostrating. Worshipful attitude means that your heart is constantly in tune with God. Your heart is constantly is aware that God is watching over you, loving you, caring for you. That is a worshipful attitude. Amen? In the New Covenant, God is watching you not to find your faults, not to find the opportunity to punish you every time you cross the line. That's not how God watches over you. God watches over you like Jesus said, like He watches over the birds in the air. If God cares for them, He will provide for all your needs. That's what it means, that God is watching over you. So when you see God who loves you and cares for you, your natural response will be to worship Him. That is the fear of God. Amen? The fear of the Lord. Now, what was the second thing? It says, depart from evil. Do you remember the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples? The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, right? Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, at the end of that prayer, what did Jesus say? Deliver us from evil. And God says, depart from evil. Now, do you know the definition of evil in the New Covenant? It's not just all those overt sins. Stealing, lying, cheating, all those things, right? Those are evil, right? It's not just that. In the New Covenant, right, the word evil also means full of labors, annoyances, hardships. Full of labors, annoyances, hardships. That's the definition of evil in the New Covenant. So anything that is full of toilsome labors, anything that in your work that is so full of stress, so full of, like cause you to not be able to sleep well, right? That is full of labors. So evil is not just those overt sins, but also anything that's full of labors, annoyances, hardships. Full of stress, in other words. Full of toilsome labors. That's what evil there in the New Covenant. So if you apply what we've talked about even during the appetizer, to have Jesus rest in your mind, you possess the promised land, the land of rest. Your mind is resting. Your mind is not evil. That means your mind is not full of labors, hardships, very stressful, distressed life. That's evil in the eyes of God. And God says you're supposed to depart from anything that can cause stress in your life. Anything that can cause you to not be able to sleep well at night. Anything that's full of labors, annoyances, hardships are evil in the eyes of God. And God says, you are supposed to depart from that. So when God says, if you want to have a healthy bones, free from arthritic pains, free from neck pain, free from back pain, whatever you pain you call it, right? Yes, we can take painkillers, no condemnation, drugs, but that's not going to be a long-term solution. You got to deal with the root. The root of the issue is the bone is dry. It's got to be moistened. Right? And I just showed you from Scripture, from Proverbs 3:7, when you fear the Lord and you depart from evil, it shall be health to thy navel, your umbilical cords, and it also will what? Shall be marrow to thy bones. It shall be moistening to your bones, so that arthritic pains, whatever, anything bone-related issues that's dry, you'll be a thing of the past if you apply the Word of God. Amen? Am I teaching you something that's valuable here, beloved of God? This is straight from the Word of God, right? Anything that basically try to get your attention away from your focus on Jesus Christ, right, and His finished work, you got to watch out for that, because that can create stress. It can create hardship. It can create annoyances. It can create labors, toilsome, hard labors that can create basically what God calls an evil life. right? A mind that is evil, full of hardships, full of, labors, annoyances, the things that robs us of the joy and the peace of Christ by taking our attention away from focusing on Jesus, and we focus on the natural. What we see, hear, taste, smell, or feel that create fear and create basically all kinds of annoyances, right? Now, many times husband and wife, they're quarreling, they're fighting. Many times it's not even because of the disagreements or the issues at hand. It's because they have been stressed. You fight not necessarily because of the problem at hand, but because there's stress there. There is annoyances. And so you are short fuse. You are not as patient as you can be because of that evil thing that God says, depart from evil. Amen? Amen? Worship the Lord. Again, fear the Lord is to worship Him. So it's not like, oh, I'm afraid of God. No, no. In the new covenant, right? There's now no more condemnation, right? In Christ Jesus. So there's no need to fear God in a negative sense. But we are to worship Him. Right. And then what does it mean to depart from evil? It's to make sure, right? We are not so occupied with the things of this world that takes our attention away from Jesus, such that we become so stressful, so full of labors, annoyances, and hardships, that it robs us of the life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that's really good. That is really, really good, the Word of God. Amen? Now, beloved of God, I'm going to show you something. Since we're talking about Jesus' joy, right? This is the year of Jesus' joy. There is everlasting joy in Philippians 4:4, where Apostle Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. Let me say it again, rejoice, right? Say rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Let me say it again, rejoice.
Let me say it again, rejoice.
Wow, and this guy was in jail when he said it. That means we have no excuse not to rejoice, no matter how bleak the situation might be, like Apostle Paul. We can have Jesus' joy. Amen? Hallelujah. And that word rejoice is from the Greek word Cairo, like the capital of Egypt, the city of Cairo, right? Cairo, that's in the Greek. And it means to be well off. Or to be well. So in other words, when you say rejoice in the Lord always, I can say God wants you well always. Am I right? Because to rejoice is to be well. So God says, be well always. Let me say it again. Be well. Well, be well here is not just talking about being happy, you know. Being well can be for your body. That means I want your body to be well. When we say rejoice in the Lord always, it's also in the Greek, it's accurate to say God wants you to be well always. Amen. God wants you well. God wants you to be well always. Let me say it again. Be well. That is the Greek word kairo. Amen? Or to be well off. Or to thrive. That's not a definition. To thrive. Say thrive.
Thrive.
Don't you want to thrive in your business, in your career, in your job? Well, guess what? That word kairo there also means to thrive. So it is God's will for you to thrive always in the Lord. Let me say it again. Thrive. Interesting, right? It's beyond just, oh, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. No, it says, be well, thrive, be well off in the Lord always. Amen? I already told you about the map on how to possess this everlasting crown called Jesus' joy, right? The ransom of the Lord shall return. They shall come to Zion with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Remember to talk about that? And then I show you in the New Covenant, Philippians 4:4, Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again, rejoice. That's everlasting joy there. That's everlasting joy. Rejoice always, right? In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says the same thing. Rejoice always. Just two words. That's one of the shortest verse, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice always. So we have two witnesses in Philippians 4:4 and then in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 saying the same thing. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Say with me, rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
Now say everlasting joy.
Everlasting joy.
So that is, you know, the new covenant equivalent of everlasting joy in the book of Isaiah in the old covenant is to rejoice always. Now, remember, Philippians chapter 4 comes after Philippians chapter 3. Well, of course, Pastor. Yeah, 4 comes after 3. So in order for us, right, to maintain or to continue to walk in this life that is full of rejoicing always, we got to know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 4:4 comes after Philippians 4:1. In Philippians 4:1, Apostle Paul says, "In this way, stand firm, my beloved." So before you get to 4:4, he said, "In this way, stand firm." What way? Then we have to go back to the previous chapter, right? Because in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "In this way, therefore, I want you to stand firm." What are you talking about, this way? You have to go back to the previous chapter, what he was talking about, right? That's why in chapter 3, it begins by, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That is in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. It begins by saying, "Finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord." That means what I'm about to say here will have the important nuggets, will have the important revelation on how you can actually be rejoicing always. Amen? Now, I'm going to find out all the important nuggets in chapter 3 here so that I can continue to have the everlasting joy. I don't want to have everlasting joy like a crown, and then it's stolen by the devil, and I have to get it again. We have the keys in the Bible on how to stay in this enjoyment, if you will, of being able to rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? In verse 1, which we talked about last Sunday, it says, "I'm writing these things again to you, but it's no trouble for me." Remember? We talked about how Apostle Paul says, you know, again, remember back then they don't have emails, they don't have text messages, you cannot copy and paste things. He had to manually write down, line by line, pages after pages, and he said, "It's no trouble for me, but it's a safeguard for you." Now, that teaches us the importance of meditating on the Word of God. It's very, very important that even Apostle Paul would write the whole letter again and again, just so that it will be a safeguard for us to meditate on the Word of God. Now, let's look at verse 2, Philippians chapter 3.
"Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved."
That gives more clarification. What is this concision that King James is talking about, right? He's talking about those people who say that you must be circumcised to be saved, right? The legalists, the Judaizers, the people that say, well, unless you are circumcised on the eighth day or things like that, you're not going to make it to heaven, that kind of stuff, right? So it says, "Watch out for those dogs." Now, do you think Apostle Paul, when he said, "Watch out for the dogs," he was talking about literal dogs? He was talking about what? Those wicked men and those who do evil things, right? Now, how do you practically apply this today? Would you allow evil people to come into your house uninvited? No, right? So, what does it mean to be beware of these evil people? How do you practically beware of evil people? You gotta be careful what you are watching on your phone. Because out of the evil heart, the mouth speaks. So be careful what you're watching. Be careful what you're listening. Because that is one practical way for you to beware of evil people. Before they can cheat you and deceive you, they got to talk.
Yeah.
They got to entice you. They got to tempt you. If you don't have this, you're missing something. So, beloved of God, if you want to enjoy rejoicing always, where you can have the joy of the Lord, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers and beware of religious people that makes you doubt that you are saved by grace and not anything good that you have done. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. If you want your joy to last, don't allow anything that you see on your phone or on TV, right, that will rob you of your joy and your peace, because they are saying evil things out of their evil heart, right? To get you away from your love and devotion for anything that's related to Jesus Christ and His finished work. Do you understand? The legalists, the religious Judaizers. There are many religious people today that basically gives you the idea that you can be saved by religion. No, you cannot be saved by religion. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. He's the only truth and the only life. And we are saved only by grace through faith. Amen? We're not saved by our good works. We are saved because Jesus has done the finished work at the cross. And then as we believe, yes, we eventually will do good works, but I don't move in order to become a cow. I am a cow, that's why I move. But I don't move to become a cow. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a person who is born again, yes, they will eventually do good works. They'll feed the poor, they'll care for people, they love people. But it's not because of my good works that I became a cow. Amen? Anybody understand this?
Amen.
And this is very subtle. This is very subtle. When Apostle Paul says, do you want to be able to rejoice always? Do you know why you are depressed sometimes? Feels like your joy is just leaking out of you. And where is my joy? Where is this everlasting joy? It's because we have been listening to the wrong channel. We are not listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are allowing the evil workers to have a say over your life and give you the idea that unless you are religious, you do this, you circumcise, blah, blah, blah. Circumcision is just one example. Anything that makes you put you under law, anything that makes you feel like God does not love you because you have not done enough this, anything that makes you feel like you are condemned, right? It will, guess what? It will take away your joy. It will cause you, amen, to not be able to rejoice always. Amen? Are you learning something, church, today? Amen? Are you blessed, church? Yes. Man, this is good. So again, watch out what you're watching on your phone, online or offline or on TV. Make sure the programs or the things that you're watching are the things that edifies you, that builds you up, right? That gives you peace. We need to really be focused on the things of God. Even in the midst of your busyness, you can be busy, busy, busy outside, talking to customers, calling people. But deep down inside, there's still peace. There's still joy. You're still in tune. God loves me. God is watching over me. I'm worshiping the Lord and I depart from evil. And then guess what, beloved God? You will not have arthritic problem. You will not have bone issues because the Bible cannot lie. It says it will be marrow to your bones. You'll be moistening to thy bones. Amen? How to maintain the ability to have this everlasting joy? Rejoicing always. Keep on meditating on the Word, right? I write these things to you again. It's no problem for me, but it's a safeguard for you. And in verse 2 it says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of those religious people that say you must be circumcised in order to be saved. Or whatever today, anything that religion try to make you feel like you are disqualified because you have not done this. And then guess what? Your joy evaporates. It's like, where's the everlasting joy? Like, God is not pleased with me. Amen? So the antidote for that is we want to get our hearts back in tune with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Think about Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Think about the cross, where all of your sins have been forgiven. Think about the blood of Jesus that washes you clean. Even when you just had a wrong thought, the blood keeps on cleansing you. You are always clean in the eyes of God by the blood of Jesus. Now what happens? What happens if you keep on tuning into this? Then you will have that everlasting joy and the ability to be rejoicing at all times. Amen? And beloved of God, if you want to be rejoicing all the time, you gotta have the Word of God all the time.